This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My brothers and sisters, at the very end of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna 'aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal." We have offered the trust and responsibility of faith and righteousness, of living up to the purpose and wisdom for which Allah Azza wa Jal created the creation. We offered this trust to the skies and to the earth and to the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقُنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. And so they all collectively refused, declined the responsibility. The risk was too high. The reward is great, but the risk was too intimidating. وَأَشْفَقُنَ مِنْهَا. They were heavily anxious, intimidated, fearful of it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But the human being opted for it. I'll take it. So the humanity shouldering this responsibility is why we're here today. However, one of the great scholars of Islam, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, died about 800 years ago. He said, "Whomever thinks that this responsibility we have shouldered is easy does not understand its reality, doesn't understand the nature of taklif, of this responsibility and trust that we are tasked with in life." He said, some people may think this responsibility is to wash a few limbs, meaning wudu, ghusl, and offer a few rak'ahs, like salah. He goes, and these are actually the easiest of our responsibilities. Some of the most difficult of them, and the reason why the mountains themselves shied away from this, what the mountain themselves could not carry, was the likes of you having to accept what you don't understand, to submit to what you cannot comprehend. And he says, like, for example, loss and pain and seeing the likes of innocent children suffer and then being responsible to force your mind to accept that as atrocious and tragic as this is, he is still Arhamur Rahimeen, more merciful than anyone who has mercy in their hearts, more merciful than everyone else combined. He's the one that decreed this. It's very hard. He said, when you realize this, you understand the difference between the duties of the limbs and the duty of the intellect, the duty of the mind. Like what we see in Gaza today, for example, is on everyone's mind. And death toll is nearing 10,000 children. So hard to keep myself locked in on the fact that, yes, it is horrible, it is horrific, it is unthinkable evil from our perspective, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is requesting from the angels to take the souls of those children by name. Bring me that child. Their time in this world of pain and suffering is done. He's choosing them. As if choosing roses from a garden. These are the best of the people, and I want them back now. They've passed their tests. To lock yourself in on what you cannot see in front of you and fully understand is difficult. However, that's not the topic of the khutbah. What caught my eye when I was reading this reflection of Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, is the fact that he said, washing a few limbs and offering a few rak'ahs is a walk in the park compared to some other responsibilities we have in life as believers. And yet what? Many of us think this lighter test, much lighter test, is too much of a test. Many of us go through much lighter tests than the one I just described, that the mountains would struggle to bear, and the believer is tasked and equipped through the Quran to bear. They are bombarded or harassed with the thoughts of, like, why is Islam so hard? Why is Islam so restrictive? Why is Islam so difficult? And of course, that is, Quranically speaking, the farthest thing from the truth. Reality speaking, that couldn't be more wrong. This is sort of, they got it backwards. Islam is hard? Absolutely not. Life is hard. And life is infinitely more hard without Islam. That is the reality. But most of us may struggle to set our mindset, set our heart set upon this. Why is that? I mean, if you look in the Quran, for instance, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, and seek help in life. It's supposed to be helpful for you to exhibit patience and prayer. You see, there's a big difference. Some people see prayer as being in the way. Like, oh, it's prayer time again. It's interrupting me. It's in the way. Whereas Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran is telling you, actually, this prayer has been instated there to pave your way, not to be in your way, to smoothen your course of life, to help you get past the hurdles, to help you not get tripped up in life. That's what it's there for. But who is able to see it as such, to feel, experience the prayer, for instance, as such? Just continue the ayah. Seek strength through patience and prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرًا, and prayer is burdensome. The Quran is admitting the prayer is a burden. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرًا, it's a big thing, it's heavy. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, except those who are in awe of Allah, who are fixated on the divine. Why? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, because they are those who are certain that they will soon be meeting their Lord. So once you have certainty, that is motivation enough for you to downplay whatever you're going to do, like the prayer. And then once you downplay it, adopt it, show consistency in it, you realize, oh, this wasn't something of a burden on me. This was actually an asset for me. But it comes from where? To see it as such, it depends on your motivations. It depends on your incentive. Why should I see the prayer as such? To the degree of your certainty, you will. Certainty is what enables you to sacrifice. Changing my wardrobe, upholding my prayers, changing my job if I have to, relocating my family if I must, forgiving my relatives and upholding the ties of kinship. These are a walk in the park. They may seem like a 10-year challenge, a 20-year challenge, but with certainty in the hereafter, it becomes a piece of cake. It becomes so easy. It depends on where it lands. Does it land on the proper motivation or not? Because if I were to give some people worldly motivation, forgive them and I'll give you $1 million, oh, that's easy, I'll do it. Pray Fajr and I'll give you $1,000, yeah, no problem. Suddenly that huge boulder called Salatul Fajr is a fly, right? Is weightless. Now move on to another factor here. Certainty is what allows us to sacrifice. How much is Islam actually asking us to sacrifice? The very little sacrifice, really, that Islam is asking us for is always within our capacity. Objectively speaking, really, it is easy. Truly easy. Every sensible person would acknowledge this. And I'll give you a few examples. Praying 5 times a day. How long does it take? 20, 30 minutes max? You don't find it a burden to go get a coffee that could take you 40 minutes or go on a lunch break that costs you an hour. It's not a burden, right? What is zakah? 2.5%, not of your money, of the holdings that have been sitting there for an entire year, a fraction of them goes out to the poor and the needy and good causes. Is that how hard is that really? Fasting just the daylight hours in one of the 12 months of... How difficult is that exactly? People do this for different reasons. If they have motivation enough, they'll do longer hours for health reasons. But to reset your mind, heart, and soul and align them on the proper trajectory in life, it's not that difficult at all. Objectively, it's not hard. It's a fraction of a fraction is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is asking you. The Allah who gave you everything to begin with. Islam comes and says, eat whatever you want and drink whatever you want. Just stay away from pork and stay away from unslaughtered meats, right? Stay away from wine and intoxicants. That's it. Eat everything. It's halal, pure, eat it. And that's an endless list. The halal and the tayyib are an endless list. But then there's more. Islam eases it further and goes, but if you're stuck, there's a built-in concession for you because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. There's further ease now, right? Allah will not burden you beyond your capacity. So if it's beyond your capacity to stand, sit down in your prayer. Sitting hurts too much, lay down, right? the 2.5%, you can't pull out the money for whatever reason, just take note of it and just make sure you account for it in the future. You can't fast because you're sick or you're traveling, make it up on other days. And the ayah that says make it up on other days says what? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah wants to make things easy for you. He wants to make things easy for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing to eat but pork. Go ahead and eat it till you find something that is permissible, right? But it doesn't just stop there. I'll give you one more. And even if you didn't have the concession due to straining circumstances, and you actually did in fact violate, you didn't even uphold these very basic sacrifices, like you didn't keep to your five, or you delayed your zakah, or you didn't fast your Ramadan, or you did eat something haram, and the door is always open to be forgiven, right or wrong? That's why the scholars said, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, Allah has not caused for there to be on you any hardship, any unbearable weight in this religion. They said, of the first things that comes to mind is that Allah never set any crime that you can't repent from. So long as you're breathing. So long as you're breathing, you can be forgiven. There's always an exit. There's never a lost cause. There's never undue hardship. An inescapable mistake doesn't exist in our deen. Even for those who do in fact violate these very easy demands. And the Prophet ﷺ himself said, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Give people glad tidings. Tell them about these things. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Don't chase people away. Keep them coming back because they always can. And he said in the same hadith, in the very next statement, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Make things easy for people. Draw for them a gradual path and show them the upsides and make things easy. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Don't make things hard on them. That is an integral part of our deen. And ultimately, Islam demands so little of us, right? Look at the picture we just drew together. And it gives you so much in return of purpose, of direction, of clarity, of peace. In this world, before the next, which is the actual prize, which is the grand prize. But en route to it, Islam gives you so much in this life and demands of you so little. As for just like remove this Islam thing, let me just live life. Life will take from you so much and it will give you back so little. This is why, you know, in the famous narration, Sahih al-Bukhari, when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, she said that the first thing to come down from the Quran were the shorter surahs that were primarily discussing, reinforcing in people their awareness of the Day of Judgment. فِيهَا ذِكْرُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, she said. It has, more than anything, mention of paradise and the fire. She said, then when the people became inclined, the motivational structures are set now, when people became attached to the hereafter, it was vivid for them, she said, نَزَلَ الْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ, the do's and don'ts came down. She said, and if the first thing to come down from the Qur'an would have been stop fornicating, the people would have said, we'll never stop haram relationships. Islam's too hard, right? It would have said, we're not going to stop this habit. And if the first thing to come down would have been, stop drinking wine, they would have said, لَن نَدْعَهُ أَبَدًا, we'll never stop drinking wine. Too hard. We'll never stop doing it. You know, we often cite this narration, as we should, to speak about motivational structures. But I want you to also, for the sake of today's khutbah, look at it from a second angle as well. When Islam was telling people to move away from this, was it moving them towards restriction? Like, don't fornicate, don't drink wine. Was that actually a restriction? No, it was in their heads a restriction. Right? Quick gratification, drink and forget, you know, be with whoever you want, flip, jump to another option. But in reality, this was a black hole. This was so much hardship. Ask the people who have open relationships. Are they happy in life? Is their life easy? Their lives are so complicated. Ask the people that substance abuse and drink wine and otherwise. Are their lives easy? They're not. And so the deen is actually building for you the motivational structure so that you would accept the deen's invitation to ease, not to restriction. So that you would realize that Islam is coming not to keep you from the freedom to sin. I wish I were free to sin. No, it is freeing you from being tossed around and being destroyed at the hands of sin. And all praise be to Allah who did not leave us under the guise, the delusion of freedom to sin, and actually gave us freedom from sin through these proper structures, through this proper motivation, through the ease that Allah only grants through Islam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, allow me to end the khutbah with just a few more thoughts on how to counteract, how to reverse that mindset whenever it tries to trip inside of our hearts, our souls, our thoughts. Is Islam easy or hard? Number one, think about this. Considering the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how easy is it to please Him? Like, think about it. This perfect being, how can our imperfect efforts ever earn His pleasure? Ever qualify to please Him? You know, like people often say, I can't please my parents. And these are like fellow human beings, we're all imperfect. How can we possibly, rationally, logically, qualify to please Allah? Yet we can. Right? That's of the ease of this deen. He made it so easy to please Him. That's why one of the Salaf used to say, إِنَّ لِلْحَسَنَاتِ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ مَا يُغْنِي عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That, you know, our good deeds are so defective, naturally, right? Because we're imperfect creatures, so anything that comes of us will be imperfect. Our good deeds are so imperfect that by itself is enough of a reason to shy away from, to stay away from, to be too ashamed to commit evil deeds. Like, how can I commit evil deed? Even my good deeds are flawed, right? But Allah accepts those flawed, imperfect deeds despite His perfect nature because He loves to make things easy for people. And I have another thought for you. Consider the value of forgiveness. It's either forgiveness or doom at the end of the equation called life. How easy does Allah make forgiveness? An-nadamu tawbah. Sincere regret equals repentance. That's our deen. Look how easy that is. And I have a third one for you. Consider the greatness of paradise, the greatness of Jannah. Every single one of us understands I'll work 5-6 days so long as you don't, you know, intrude on me on my day off. I'll work 6 for 1. Or I'll work 40 years for 10-15 years of retirement. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you work for a few short years and then you get a forever vacation. Consider the greatness of Jannah and how easily it can be gained. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو أن ابن آدم جر على وجهه من يوم ولد إلى أن يموت هرما في مرضات الله لحقره يوم القيامة. If the son of Adam, the human being, were dragged on his face, and we're not asked to be dragged on our face. If he were to be dragged on his face, hypothetically, from the day he were born until the day he dies of old age, seeking by that to please Allah, he will belittle it on the day of judgment. These little passing actions will echo without end for eternity. How can it be? How easy can it get? And I have one more for you. Considering also not just the greatness of Allah and the importance of forgiveness and the grandness of Jannah and how easily attainable they are, consider the greatness of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How perfect of a human being he was, how devoted and dedicated and sacrificing he was, yet it is accepted of you to just keep your obligations to be considered one of his followers. How easy is that? Just pray your 5 and fast your month and respect Allah's boundaries and you are one of the followers. That is why Malik ibn Dinar, and with that I'll close, Abu Hazim, he said, you know, in the spirit of reflecting, he's reflecting on, it's not supposed to be this easy. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَدْ رَضِينَا مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ أَنْ يُبْقِيَ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَمَا يُبْقِي عَلَى نَعْلِهِ. It's as if Allah is saying, He's projecting here, we have accepted of you, this great scholar is saying, it's as if Allah has said, we have accepted from you to be as protective of your deen, your everything, your deen, your religious commitment, the same way you're protective of your shoe or your sandal. Just when it cuts, just stitch it up. Don't forget to stitch it up. When you walk through the mud, just make sure you rinse. When you see something, just watch your step. That's it. Can you imagine? Allah is going to accept from you to protect your deen the way you protect your footwear. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us due gratitude for this great deen.